Prime Day es el 16 y 17 de julio. Con las ofertas épicas exclusivas para miembros Prime, recibe el reconocimiento que tanto mereces.
¡Wow! Gracias. Ni siquiera preparé un discurso.
Quisiera agradecer a mi familia, que siempre necesita cosas. También a Sam, mi repartidor, por entregarme todas mis ofertas increíbles tan rápido. ¡Te adoro, Sam! ¡Mua!
Compra ofertas en electrónicos, hogar y más este Prime Day, del 16 al 17 de julio.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
This is the Yanks Go Yard podcast with Adam Weinrib and Thomas Carinante.
Welcome back to the Yanks Go Yard podcast. Happy Thursday. Thanks for joining us on YouTube live, 2 o'clock Eastern. Thanks for joining me. I'm Adam Weinrib, and thanks for joining me specifically in a more down-to-earth sense. I mean, thanks for joining me, everybody. Thanks for joining me on the show, Thomas Carinante, who was off for a while, rested, recharged while you were gone. The Yankees were actually kind of competent in spring training. Some people who needed to prove they were healthy kind of proved it last week. Just need to bubble wrap themselves. Aaron Judge came back. You missed a whole lot of nothing from him. But we're going to be talking about mostly today some players who will not be on the New York Yankees. One of them we knew wouldn't be joining us. Looked like he might be going to a rival. Didn't. Kind of fun. Blake Snell, enjoy your 1 year in San Francisco and a chance to prove J.D. Martinez wrong that it's actually a pretty good city. And Michael Lorenzen, I kind of thought would be a Yankee, maybe even by the time this show happened, but nope, almost 1 a.m. Eastern time, goes to Texas last night. That's a team that needed rotation help as well. They were given the opportunity not to go internal, and they took it. Meanwhile, the New York Yankees, still roster questions abounding, kind of seem like they're going to go internal. Seemed that way last week, seemed that way the week before, still seems that way now, but they're talking again. The one major free agent still left on the market, Jordan Montgomery. Bullshit, or we buy it. Thomas Carinante, welcome to the show. You've got an offer for the viewers and listeners before we get into the nitty-gritty here.
I certainly do. What's up, everybody? Thanks for hanging out while I was gone. Hope you treated Adam well. I know you did, fellas. I see you there in the chat.
No, you guys treated me like shit.
I get that. Why are you even watching this? Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for tuning in today. We got a lot to talk about, but before we get into it, we have DraftKings here. They're offering a sign-up bonus for new users. New customers can place a $5 first bet on any sport and instantly claim $150 in bonus bets. All you got to do is use that code YanksGoYard. The best part is that you will receive those rewards even if your first bet loses. Using that code YanksGoYard not only gets you these bonuses, but it directly supports our podcast. If you have been considering signing up for DraftKings, make sure to use that code YanksGoYard to maximize those first bets. This offer is only available to new customers who are 21 and older and physically present in legal gambling states. Please remember to always gamble responsibly. Check the episode descriptions for full terms of the offer to see if you qualify. Since I paid attention to no Yankees baseball since I was gone, I think we'll just do the podcast. Adam tells me what happens. I slowly react to it while I watch March Madness on my other screen.
Oh, you better believe I'm obviously watching March Madness now as well. And we've got 40 minutes or so before tip on the 1-16 matchup between your North Carolina Tar Heels and Wagner, the Seahawks.
I picked all upsets in these first, except for that one.
You didn't pick Wagner, yeah. Wagner's got 7 active players. I'll be deeply upset if they beat North Carolina. But you know,
Staten Island legends.
Crazier things have happened. I've certainly seen – I didn't even realize until I was looking back on last year for this year's tournament, because I was flying last year the first weekend. I didn't even realize Purdue Fairleigh Dickinson was a 1-16. I thought that was a 2-15.
That was 1-16, yeah.
Yeah, that's not good. I'll describe what the Yankees did to you. Honestly, it was a status quo. Certainly, if you're power ranking weeks of Yankees baseball, it's probably the worst week of the year, right? The middle third of spring training where you're just like, don't get hurt. I already know what I need to know about these people. All you can do is change. You can't really change my narrative positively at this point. Or so I thought, but Carlos Rodon certainly took a stride forward this week in a period of time where I would have otherwise said, I don't care what happens on the field. Just get out of there healthy. Carlos Rahm, 5 2/3, no hit innings. Against a Phillies lineup that had some winners in there. I mean, every spring lineup has some black holes, but there's some real guys in there. And either way, I don't think if you're putting Kyle Schwarber or Bryce Harper at their peak in there, that they're hitting that 96 at the top of the zone that he was delivering. He gets the hook from Joe Torre himself. Although I will say that if Rodon said he was surprised he was getting the hook three pitches early and he considered mouthing off before seeing it was Joe Torre, if he had snapped at Joe Torre, his Yankee career would be over today. It would already be done. So I'm glad he didn't do that. But otherwise, pretty unremarkable week of baseball. Nestor Cortes is your opening day starter. He is dealing right now against the Braves. Shut out into the fourth. Who knows how long that lasts. But again, we're getting pretty close to Yankim territory. I've seen enough. Just keep him okay. You missed some people getting fake mad at Marcus Stroman for wanting to stay on routine, even though the Yankees never asked him to change his routine. And even though the team shouldn't have changed his routine, you missed a bunch of tryhards yelling about how they would do whatever it took to start. Yeah. If my team asked me to, even though his team didn't ask him and your team never would ask you because you're just a fucking guy. But everybody was mad at him. Everybody. I mean, like 15% of fans were mad at him for a couple of seconds. Much more pertinent to discuss, I think, the off-field goings on this week, especially 1 week before opening day. That's absolutely crazy. Didn't expect to ever get to this
point. Nuts.
Did. So real baseball next week. The opener will be started by Nestor as long as he checks out health-wise after these final couple outings of spring training. But I believe in the Yankees' internal options, I guess. Luke Weaver, the data on what he was throwing yesterday, kind of crazy. Will Warren got betrayed by his defense against the Red Sox, but also did give up a huge home run to Trevor Story. So unearned runs versus earned runs. I mean, yeah, they're unearned, but he also hit a monster shot off you, and you can't just erase that because of the error that happened previously. He did a good job of shaking it off, but he did still do that. Luis Gil has looked better than any Yankee starter this spring. Mm-hmm. People aren't sure if he's a starter yet. Either way, all that to say, those three guys, I've seen enough that they belong on the roster in some capacity. Long relief, swingman, fifth starter, maybe caddying for the fifth starter. Like if Warren is up, he goes four innings, Gil goes three. Then we turn it over to the short relief. I like what all those guys are giving me. Clayton Beter has probably earned a second look later this season too. All that is to say, if you can get Blake Snell at your price, you should have gone ahead and done that. But 2 years, $62 million is not your price. So let's talk Snell first, I guess, because objectively, Scott Boras cost this man $90 million guaranteed dollars, we think. Brian Cashman was cagey on the true details of that Yankees offer that was reported at $6,150. I'm sure there were opt-outs. I'm sure there were incentives. They maxed out at $150 or whatnot. But let's even say it was $6,120, which we don't know. That's the LeMahieu contract. I'm just throwing stuff out there. Let's say it was $6,120. Cost himself $60 guaranteed million dollars with the possibility of earning more from being good in a team and city situation where he wanted to be. Wanted to be a Yankee. Made that pretty clear. There's John Heyman kept re-engaging the two sides even when they weren't actually talking. It was very obvious that Judge wanted him, Cole wanted him, Snell wanted to be here, and he's not here. He's in San Francisco. That team is actually better than you probably think, although they're buried in the NL West. Logan Webb and Blake Snell at the top of the rotation, Kyle Harrison right behind him, that's better than almost any team. I would put them up against anybody in a short series right now, not offensively, but on the mound. Either way, Snell, not a Yankee. Boras tried to engage the Yankees late in the process. Didn't seem to work. More importantly, perhaps not an Astro. Because the same shit started flying around at the end of last week about, oh, wait, all of a sudden the Astros are at his throwing session. Oh, wait, the Astros are strongly pursuing him. It's exactly how the Josh Hader deal progressed. It was like, not even involved, strongly pursuing, he signed. We paid him $100 million. The Astros, I will give the Yankees credit for 1 second here. I was all ready to do a rant that was basically like, I think I did part of it on Monday's show, and we didn't know which way he was going. I was like, the Yankees want to get better. Don't say the Yankees don't want to get better, but they only want to get better if it's at the exact price and the perfect scenario for them. The Astros want to get better all the time. The Astros will never say, the tax scares me. They'll say, Blake Snell's available? I wasn't even thinking about that. Fuck it. I'll sign him. And then the Astros went ahead and balked at the tax because they were only able to offer $20 million-ish before going over the final tax level, and they declined to do that, and he went to the Giants. So I'll take my medicine here. I thought the Astros were more fearless than that. They wimped out at the finish line and let Snell go to the Giants. So glad he's not in Houston. But, yeah, this got less likely when they started saying he'll help you out by taking a short-term high AAV. Like, that's not helpful for the Yankees. They were never going to do that.
Never going to do that. And, yeah, I think I forgot to even think about him not going to the Astros. That's the biggest news here. It's not that the Yankees did not sign Blake Snell. We knew the Yankees were not signing Blake Snell if we were reading the reporting correctly. Back to all the contract stuff, like, and what I guess Snell may have ultimately lost out on. Maybe the Yankees offer was, you know, 6 for $150. We're never really going to know. I think there might have been a discussion between Boris and Snell being like, okay, is this the deal that you want? Or would you rather take a short term with an opt out for next year to hop back into the market when potentially teams will be a little bit more desperate for pitching after seeing what this year's market looked like? Very few options, not a whole lot to go around. The top end of that class, a lot of hesitations with Snell and Montgomery. So I'm wondering if Snell was like, fuck it, I'll ball out again this year. And, teams will now be begging for me because they're going to realize that, you know, I still have plenty left in the tank if I can somewhat replicate what I did last year. Or teams will realize, hey, when pitching's available, you just kind of got to sign pitching, especially if you desperately need it and desperately need to get a leg up on somebody in your division. So maybe this was the smarter move. Players do value the high AVs and the flexibility. That said, if he really wanted to be a Yankee and he really wanted to win and it was $150 million was too low for him, that's a shame because I still think, look, at the very least, he should have matched Carlos Rodon's money, or they could have done like the Francisco Lindor bullshit where they're like, here's $163 million.
Yeah,
you're actually getting paid more than Carlos Rodon.
Yeah, look at that. And Rodon, look at him. He doesn't like it. He's mad. He's steamed.
but that would be sad if that number was like where he was so disappointed by it that he forewent the chance of being a Yankee. Either way, this after that report had come through and the Yankees immediately signed Marcus Stroman, you knew from that point forward this was not happening. The Gerrit Cole injury, as reported, you know, the moments of even when there were the darkest days of us potentially thinking Tommy John was on the table, everyone was saying this did not, you know, everyone who had, you know, a lot of the intel here, Andy Martino and others in that realm, or I think Jack Curry said it too, it did not change the Yankees' pulse on Snell or Montgomery. Yeah. So why would that change now? I don't know, especially after Snell seemingly pivoted for the shorter term high AV, which you knew the Yankees were not doing. But yeah, as for the fifth starter competition, Brian Hoke just sent me an email. Did you get that?
Wait, let me check. I don't know.
He did his article on MLB.com today.
What'd he tell you? He said, do not talk about this on the podcast. Yeah. I just got an email from One Medical, says debunking UTI myths. Is that what you're talking about? Did Brian Hoke send you that?
Brian Hoke is here, dude. He asked, who will be the Yankees' fifth starter? Our article on MLB.com. I get his little news blast.
Yeah.
You got Clayton Beter on here. You got Luis Gil on here. You got Cody Poteet. You got Will Warren, and you got Luke Weaver. Now I think that takes us into another discussion. Michael Lorenzen yesterday signs with the Rangers. 1 year, $4.5 million, was it?
Yeah.
Would have cost the Yankees $9 million if they had done that, or $10 million given the 110% luxury tax penalty there. Crazy, because Luke Weaver's on this list for opening day fifth starter, and he signed a guaranteed $2 million deal with the Yankees at the onset of the offseason. I know the Yankees couldn't predict Michael Lorenzen's market would drop this far, but I think even Lorenzen for 1 year at $10 million is something you do.
Yeah.
Right?
I would have. I think the tax conversation, we get it at this point. And I know we were beating the drum about the 110% for a while, but it's worth it every time someone asks you why the Yankees haven't signed Blake Snell.
Yeah.
We definitely don't have to do the 110% tax breakdown when it's Michael Lorenzen's $4.5 fucking million dollars. Because everybody's doing that. You know, actually, that would have cost the Yankees 9.6. Yeah, no, I know. That's still absolutely nothing. If you want Michael Lorenzen, you'll do that. Like, that's the thing. And so they I guess, did not want Michael Lorenzen. It's tough. You put Snell in the rotation, rotation gets way better. Way better. You put Lorenzen in the rotation over Warren, Weaver, Heel. He's more of a name. He's probably going to give you two great months. And by great, I mean competent. 3.8 ERA, 4.1 ERA. There's value there.
Yeah. But
once it's Lorenzen, I think you do have to have the conversation of, can't Luke Weaver get me a 4.18 ERA in April and May? Like, can't Luis Heel, can Michael Lorenzen give me a 7-inning shutout with 10 Ks like Luis Heel? I mean, he threw a no-hitter last year. So the answer is yes, on occasion. Mm-hmm. He can do that. I think he answers that one resoundingly, but is he going to be better in like a 2.5 month sample size than the guys the Yankees have and the guys they have that are internal and the guys with options? That I'm not sure. And so cost not prohibitive, obviously, but the Yankees seem to believe in their internal options more than they believe in Lorenzen, because you can't let – if you got to pay the tax, you can let the tax stop you from signing Blake Snell. You cannot let the tax stop you from signing guys to $4 million deals. Well, it's actually $8 million. I know it is. And that's not a lot of money.
It's not. Is my camera off?
Yeah, you're a frozen photograph, as far as I can tell.
either way, if you can hear me, I'll keep talking.
Yeah, I can hear you, but I definitely can't. I mean, I can see you, but it doesn't move.
Okay. Disappearing, guys. Sorry about that. Yeah, I think, you know, you look at Lorenzen stats, 4.11 ERA for his career. And he's had a lot of major league experience. He's been in the league for 9 years. I think that's certainly valuable. Luke Weaver, been in the league for 8 years, 5.14 ERA.
Quite bad.
Bit of trouble throughout his career. Nothing that really stands out to you outside of that, that year in Arizona. The 2019 season when he made 12 starts at a 2.94 ERA. Maybe that's what the Yankees are unlocking at this moment. But, yeah, you have some concerns here. And if you were really worried about any of these guys either taking the jump that they needed to or having the mileage on their arm, Ken, like you said before, are we sure Luis Heel's a starter? I think he is. The Yankees seem to, you know, potentially have reservations about that because it's been a while since he's recovered. Clayton Beter is another one. Like, he does not go too deep into games. He doesn't. I think he averages just around, like, you know, I think last I did the math, it was like 4.8 innings per start in the minor leagues. Which, look, he's improving, but that's, you know, that's not exactly a number that gives you confidence in longevity. Cody Poteet, limited big league experience. Will Warren, no big league experience, and working through, you know, getting that length too. So look, I if the Yankees figure a way to piece these guys together and work out some sort of piggybacking plan, and you get them the experience they need and you don't increase the mileage on their arm and put them in a bad situation, then that's great. Then again, I would have maybe just signed Lorenzen. Also, I haven't been paying that close attention to the, like, what's the roster crunch situation? Could signing another, like, is signing Michael Lorenzen for that price worth bumping one of these guys off? And after you had spent all this time keeping them, you know, on the roster, or on the path to potentially make some, make a big league impact. So I'm not really sure about that. And we know that now there could potentially be a problem with the Yankees having to bring somebody in because of the DJ LeMahieu's injury. So I don't know. I'm just thinking aloud.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think there's nothing more of all the things that fans say. Look, it's a close contest. There are a lot of pretentious things that fans just parrot these days. One of them is definitely that, like, oh, the tax stuff. Just like every fan reminding you, Thomas has been arrested. He's not coming back.
Prime Day es el 16 y 17 de julio. Con las ofertas épicas exclusivas para miembros Prime, recibe el reconocimiento que tanto mereces.
Wow, gracias. Ni siquiera preparé un discurso.
Quisiera agradecer a mi familia, que siempre necesita cosas. También a Sam, mi repartidor, por entregarme todas mis ofertas increíbles tan rápido. ¡Te adoro, Sam! ¡Mua!
Compra ofertas en electrónicos, hogar y más este Prime Day, del 16 al 17 de julio.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
No, he just messaged me. He's going to re-enter. I mean, some of the stuff that – do you really just come back in with a frozen screen again? I've never seen anything like this. See ya. One of the pretentious things that fans say is the tax stuff, where they're explaining it to you and you're like, no, I know. But again, it's just money, and Hal Steinbrenner is a billionaire. Like, he can afford the tax. If he really wants somebody, he can. He definitely can for Michael Lorenzen. The other thing is fans talking up like the internal pitching program as if it's like a be all end all and an excuse to never sign a free agent. Like Michael Lorenzen, clearly Yankees drew a line in the sand and they believe in who they have more than they believe in Michael Lorenzen. Do you and I? Not sure. But the Yankees believe in their internal options more than Michael Lorenzen, right? And that's the calculation they made. And it's going to be a fun thing for us to watch for the rest of the year. Because back in the day, fifth starter used to be just some burnout slop. Like, your fifth starter used to be someone who was not a major league pitcher. You'd be like, the fifth starter's going today? Who the hell's that? Like, some guy who never pitched in the playoffs. Now, rosters are more streamlined. Your fifth starter's got to be competent. They got to eat innings. They can't just be a roll of the dice random man. So we'll learn soon if the Yankees' internal options are indeed a better bet to soak up innings than Michael Lorenzen. We'll also learn if the Yankees really had no use for a good above average 70 to 80 innings, which is Lorenzen, right? He's been in the bullpen before. He can do that. You can bump him in there in October. It was weird that he was so burned out at the end of last year. The Phillies didn't even use him in October. He barely.
That was concerning for sure.
On the fringes of the roster. But the Yankees believe, whether you want to defend them or not, that what they have internally, they think they can turn almost anybody into Michael Lorenzen. That's what they think. And that's what a team like the Red Sox thinks. A team that's for some reason not adding pitching depth because they think with Andrew Bailey and Craig Breslow, they think they've got four guys at AAA who you don't know who could be Michael Lorenzen tomorrow. And then presented with a cheap, real huge upgrade that they'll take it. But adding these fringe major leaguers, I don't know. We've got Cooper Criswell at home. So the Yankees feel the same way. They're like, you've seen Heal, you've seen Warren, you saw Luke Weaver last night. I tweeted, does Luke Weaver have swag now? Because it honestly was kind of weird. He was like swinging a leg wildly in the air, whipping a fastball, like it popping the glove. It felt like he wasn't doing a full follow through. It did not feel like watching Luke Weaver last year. It was like, who is this guy? But he was very effective. Spin was real. I mean, who knows? The Yankees have Nick Birdie and Dennis Santana competing for bullpen spots. And Birdie's probably going to get one if he can stay healthy for another 5 days. So the Yankees believe in their system. They believe in what they have. And we will now get to track for the rest of the year whether or not Michael Lorenzen and the innings soaked up that he provides would have been a valuable addition to this Yankee team. Because again, you lose one more guy, and it does get dicier. Like right now, they got guys they believe in. You lose Cortez or Rodon or Stroman for a month or two, and suddenly two of these guys are in rotation spots and you're pretty far from the deadline, then you're probably going to wish you spent money on Michael Lorenzen.
Yeah, my only issue is like you look at the rest of the rotation. Clark Schmidt, you just don't know what you're going to – you just don't know what this year is going to be. You have no idea in terms of the longevity. Like, I am high on Clark Schmidt. I think he's going to actually pitch well. I think that's a difficult thing to bet on. But you look at his last two spring starts. He totaled six innings. He threw 110 pitches. He hasn't exactly been efficient in those last two outings, even though the last outing last week against Pittsburgh was good. 58 pitches in three and a third. That's a lot of stress on the arm. He's had that one outing that was super efficient. Well, he's had two. The first one of spring was a two inning, you know, just get out there and do it. And he threw 13 pitches. So that was good. And then his second one against Miami was awesome. But the last two, a little bit of a concern. Again, I love Nestor Cortez. Shoulder's very tricky. Don't know what we have in store for that. Marcus Stroman, historically, if he's healthy, he can put a lot of innings on his arm and be efficient. He does get worse as the season goes on. He has suffered a lot of injuries where you probably are betting on him to give you 125-ish to 140 innings a year. And then there's Carlos Rodon, giant question mark. These are all your main starters at the moment. And if the Yankees built this rotation like this with, you know, kind of on stilts with Gerrit Cole being the only truly reliable, you know, long-term veteran, now he's not here. And now you have a lot of other guys without that track record that actually have more of a track record of uncertainty. On the flip side, you had these guys in free agency who you weren't exactly confident in they would give you that longevity. And while Lorenzen does eat innings, that downturn towards the end of the year was not great. And he's more of a swing man than anything, in my opinion. I think that's where his value would get maximized. So, in summation, if the Yankees feel like, you know, I think you're right. I think they believe in what they have, and they believe they can replicate a Michael Lorenzen. If they truly think they can piece all these guys together and make it work until they get through injuries or Gerrit Cole gets back or until the trade deadline, then I'm fine with it. I really am. I'm not going to be a whiny baby about that.
I'm not going to be a whiny baby yet, but obviously it doesn't feel like a championship rotation.
No, no.
You have to believe them to believe it in. If Rodon is going to do what he did the other day, then yeah, it goes a long way. And if they're going to go all in, Shane Bieber proves he's healthy, but the Guardians suck, then they're probably going to go ahead and get Shane Bieber.
Yeah.
But I would have, I always, push comes to shove, sometimes you have to go all in and trade your prospects. The Yankees have more shortstops than they know what to do with. And I know we circle back to another fan narrative. Well, you know, having nine shortstops isn't actually bad because eventually they can play center field and second base. No, I know. But guess what? Guess what? They still fucking traded Trey Sweeney like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Because why? Because they have too many shortstops, especially at that level. Oh, oops. All the shortstops got to the same level and we don't know where to put Oswald Peraza anymore. All your shortstops can play other positions until, oops, they actually can't. So they traded Trey Sweeney and they held on to Oswald Peraza too long. And look where we are. They still got Arias. They've still got George Lombard Jr. They drafted in the first round last year. And they're mocked to take a shortstop basically every year. So there's nothing wrong with having too many shortstops until, oh, they're all at AA and now we can't play them. And now one of them's upset and his personal life is affected. And, you know, obviously that clearly has some bearing on on-field performance. Oswald Peraza has been terrible for a year and a half and now he's injured. So we'll see. I don't think this is the final rotation, but I also don't think Michael Lorenzen is the difference between them being World Series ready and not being World Series ready, which brings us to, I guess, another one.
One more.
Jordan Montgomery talks are back per John Heyman. Now, per John Heyman, the Yankees were also talking to Blake Snell for a very long time, and that didn't materialize. But according to Heyman, the Yankees and Montgomery still have a significant gap. But they are chatting once again as Montgomery struggles to find a home. Here are the things the Yankees and Jordan Montgomery have going for them. Montgomery doesn't have a team. One. Two, Montgomery doesn't really have suitors at this point. The Red Sox are at the front of the line, but they're refusing to spend they're haggling on CJ Crone's minor league contract. They don't seem to like this team, especially without Lucas Giolito, enough to pay Jordan Montgomery for like 7 years. He's still not doing a short-term deal. A short-term deal still wouldn't help the 2024 Red Sox all that much. So if it's not the Rangers who signed Lorenzen and it's not the Dodgers who have a pretty full rotation and a lot of kids, and if it's not the Giants, and I guess it could be the Angels, and it should be the Phillies, but it won't. Who is it? So that's why the Yankees and Jordan Montgomery are being connected again, because Scott Boras needs a win. But if he's not looking for a short-term deal, he's the only one of these Boras guys who actually does fit the Yankees' plan. If he is willing to go to New York, if he is willing to stretch this thing out, and they say, we can't do 7-200, we can't do 7-180, but we can do 7-140. How about 143? How about 146? If he's really willing to take a pay cut, but also keep that long-term stability, maybe opt out after year three? I don't know. It's not easy, and it's not going to happen, and I still think it's transparent bullshit. But he's the only one of these guys who I can't rule out the Yankees signing like I did with Snell, because no chance were they signing Blake Snell to a $31 million contract this year. But Jordan Montgomery, spread it out the way they like. 4 or 5 years, maybe fewer guarantees. It's not outlandish, but it's also not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. The re-engaging on talks, why do you think they re-engage? Because Blake Snell just signed, and they probably said, hey, now what are we talking for Montgomery? What are you thinking now? Just want to see what you're thinking now, because we have a clearer picture of the market now that Snell was the best on the market? Now that the best on the market has signed, starting pitching-wise, I know Yamamoto signed for the most, but that was not a realistic. That was not his contract was not indicative of his necessarily his performance capabilities. The Dodgers invested a lot of that money knowing that they would get a lot of the Japanese market here. So that was a business marketing play also, you know, coupled with personnel. But Snell, from a personnel perspective, was the best starting pitcher on the market. Now you have basis with which you with what you can work with. I know Monty wanted the Rodon deal, and then there was talks that, you know, he wanted to kind of match or get close to Snell when Snell was asking for top of market. So again, I have no idea what this contract would look like. He doesn't want a short-term contract. He wants to play with a winning team. He also didn't want to be with the Yankees at some point, if we're to believe some reporting. I don't know why he would come back at a discounted rate after the Yankees pretty much made him, created the least possible value for him with his usage and with the way they talked about him on the way out. So, at this rate, sure, they could use Montgomery. He's a starting pitcher who has plenty of MLB years left. So in theory, he fits the Yankees' plans. He fits 30 MLB teams' plans if you're looking to just be competent and have somebody good on your team. But again, I've actually had to explain the tax and money thing to friends. And that's like, it's crazy because we have people who are like, who gives a shit, just spend the money. And like, there are people who actually don't understand. And I am not really, you know, I'm not hawking the numbers. I don't care if Hal Steinbrenner has to spend $75 million on a $33 million Blake Snell deal or whatever it's going to cost. But like, that's a real number when you're talking about escalating the cost 30 plus million. Sure, I guess it could be chump change if one of his 401ks got liquidated, but it's a lot of money. And if you're talking about a commodity, you're not exactly that confident in turn, a la Garrett Cole, which is how I think they base a lot of their analysis when they're looking at another starting pitcher and investing. Rodon was one who was like, you know, we just kind of need, we need this different mentality in the rotation, and he was coming off two good years. Snell, there are concerns. Montgomery, there are concerns as well. So if they're going to make the investment, it's going to be absolutely something they love, which I guess they loved Yamamoto. I guess they loved him if they were willing to go 300. But back then, the tax wasn't as big of a concern. Now, the offseason unfolded the way it unfolded. We kind of have to live with it. You also have to consider the fact that Montgomery will probably wait out as long as he possibly can, because injuries will happen. Injuries are going to happen. Value is going to go up for some of these guys. I don't know how high or how much higher. And then again, there was a good point raised – after the Snell signing that if a player waits until the regular season starts, they no longer have the draft pick compensation attached to them as a result of the qualifying offer. So if Montgomery waits past opening day, which is in a week, the team that signs him won't have to give up draft pick compensation.
He doesn't even have draft pick compensation. That's what's so crazy about Montgomery.
Wait, he doesn't?
No, he doesn't even have the qualifier because he was traded.
Oh, that's right, because he was traded for. Sorry.
Yeah, guys. It's crazy. There is no reason that Jordan Montgomery should not be signed by a team right now. But the demands, I guess, are not in line with the way he's viewed in Major League Baseball. Coming off, it's one of the best three starters you can have. Number three starters, not one of the best three ever, but one of the best number three starters in baseball for sure, and not on a roster.
Nope. So it's I don't know what the nature of, again, renewed talk. My guess, my lone guess is Blake Snell just signed. What's the price? What's the price now? There's one guy left, so we can't. You know, there's not the what if factor if somebody else signs for more. Like, we have the concrete evidence now for everybody across the board. So I think the nature of the talks were the Yankees checking in to see if anything has changed and if that fit their butt. Because, like, what would it look like? The Yankees would need, to me, I don't think the Yankees are going over $23 million AAV there, $22 million. I don't think they're going to do that. I think actually this year they would be willing to do like $44, $46 million for 1 year of Snell or Monty. And then if the tax resets or gets closer, or, you know, gets below one of the thresholds so it's not as extreme next year, they can live with like smaller fees. But I think this year, I think that's the highest they'd be willing to go if I were to guess.
I mean, I'm bummed by the tax stuff, because it means that I have less pitching depth on my roster and high level pitching depth. But also because once you go past that crazy threshold, you should be willing to just blow past that crazy threshold. Because if you're over it and then you're like, oh, but I pay taxes that are a high percentage on signings I make. It's like, yeah, that's why you got there in the first place. Like, you already got yourself there. So it would be nice to shed some salaries and make that not the case. But unfortunately, once you're there, you kind of have to forget that you're there. So either spend like a madman or don't get there, because it does result in conversations like this today. But again, a lot of people blasting. Nestor gave up a home run to Orlando Arcia. He leaves his Braves game, allowing three runs in four plus innings. He looked pretty fine. Probably a four inning pitcher, though, to be perfectly honest. So you're going to need a piggyback for him, too. If he gives you four great innings, that's great. Modern starter. That's kind of how starting pitching works now, but not exactly someone who I trust to go six or seven, especially not like a team like the Braves. But I had somebody tweet after that, like, are the Yankees really not going to get more pitching? And I guarantee you, if they had Yoshinobu Yamamoto on this team for $350 million, you would be tweeting the same shit, but in all caps. Because holy crap, was he bad today? Has he been bad all spring? Went under the radar. A quote came out the other day from Dave Roberts, who said, the Dodgers are going to talk with Yamamoto and come up with a plan rather than deferring to him on his plan.
What is this plan? Thing.
Well, remember, though, all offseason, it was Yamamoto is a genius. He has his own honed plan for how to prepare for starts.
I actually don't remember that.
The Dodgers are going to sign his guys. Remember, he was like, please sign my pliability guys. He had like Alex Guerrero, and they're like, okay, we'll bring in your trainer. And then 2.5 weeks of spring training, Dave Roberts is like, we are going to have to come to a compromise because this shit sucks.
Get these yoga freaks out of the building, okay?
I'm a believer in Yamamoto. I'm not throwing him under the bus after one bad spring and one bad regular season start. But I am saying that if he were on the Yankees and they did pay him $350 million and they outbid the Dodgers and Mets by $40 million to get it done, cash, spend whatever it takes. And then he threw this onto the table, he served you a steaming plate of whatever this was, you would be wondering about that. And rival fans would be saying, oh my gosh, are the Yankees never going to get any pitching? Because everybody has goldfish memories and they would have forgotten that they had just, in fact, spent $350 million on this person.
Yeah. That is the pitch tipping with him, the fact that the first start came like not in the U.S. I thought pitching closer to his home country would actually do him better to start the season. There's less pressure, you know, you don't have the pressure of Dodger Stadium on you or like a hostile MLB, like if that was opening day at Petco Park, that would have been difficult. More difficult than playing in front of a bunch of neutral fans in Korea for sure. And he goes one inning, five earned, was it four hits and a walk, and he threw 43 pitches in total, 23 were strikes. That's terrible. But yeah, again, Yankees would be getting ripped to shreds for this right now. We'd be having to inexplicably defend it. But hey, we'll see how the season turns out. I also think Yamamoto will probably be fine. Then again, I'm kind of happy the Yankees drew a line in the sand here.
Yeah.
We talk about it often, and I'll keep mentioning it because now that he's in the news, it's a topic of conversation. They felt things were getting insane. And I think a majority of MLB fans would agree. They'd be like, wow, that escalated quickly. If you were reading into everything that was happening, we saw the first Yamamoto contract projection was like $150 million.
Yeah.
Might have even been less than that. Yeah. And then it was like, hey, you know what? A lot of talks happening. Looks like it could be $200 million. And we were like, sure, okay. Maybe including the posting fee. Great. Awesome. And then a day, you know, a couple weeks later, it's a done deal, $325 million. And you're like, what? And it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money for an unproven MLB commodity. It is. Everybody was using that Gerrit Cole quote against the Yankees. And it was just like, no, they were asking themselves, does this make sense? Does it make sense to pay this guy Gerrit Cole money? Yeah. I just don't know if it makes, if it's going to help our team as much as Gerrit Cole would, or as much as maybe a couple of lesser talented, you know, MLB veterans would, just because the Yankees at that point needed depth and they didn't necessarily need the star power. They could have gotten by, and you thought, you know, maybe the Snell or Montgomery, you know, secondary signings would have helped them actually more. But I'm glad that they had a little bit of a compass here because insane number. And when you're dealing with this stuff in the early going, this is not good. I'm not saying it's going to completely spiral and torpedo and Yamamoto is going to be screwed, but this is, remember Carlos Rodon started the year off bad last year, injured, and everybody started chirping. Yeah. That was only $162 million. This is $325 million. And don't forget, Yamamoto had a couple of bad spring starts. And it was believed he was tipping his pitches. And then he goes in front of a full MLB roster today and has no command, gets absolutely tattooed, and the Padres end up scoring 15 runs. That is a bad, bad start to a career in Major League Baseball. And he's going to have to work out of a hole now. He's going to have to dig out of a hole, much like Ohtani is after what had happened yesterday too. So – a lot of crazy stuff.
Yeah, imagine being game two of 162, and you're like, man, I would not want to be the Dodgers. I thought we'd have to wait until going to play a postseason series in Philadelphia on the road before I was like, oof, not envious of the Dodgers. But right now, not at all. I don't know what Ohtani's future holds. I don't know how long Ohtani probably going to get off scot-free because I don't think Major League Baseball wants, after years of trying to get him into the playoffs, to lose him. Yeah. In game two of his Dodgers contract.
There's going to be some mafia shit going on.
There's going to be some shit that would not be, they would not be so kind to other Major League Baseball
players. The NFL is about to step in and be like, we got this.
Yeah. They're going to Antonio Brown, Yamamoto's trainer. They're going to start planting, or Ohtani's interpreter. They're going to start planting seeds that we got to get rid of this guy. This is a bad apple. We got to get this guy out of here. We will see. We'll learn. But yeah, I would not want to be the Dodgers right now. I would much rather be the New York Yankees with Juan Soto and a lineup that's clicking and some pitching depth that might surprise you and everybody sort of coming together at the end of spring and still being under the radar. And like the people on the ESPN broadcast said, everybody's picking the Yankees and Red Sox to finish last at the bottom of that division. Are they? Because I haven't heard that. And I also, we may never see a season as awful as last year ever again. We might. They could replicate that. If the worst stuff happens to 19 of the 26 men on the roster, we could see that again. And yeah. Gerrit Cole being out for a couple months, obviously already is it something they didn't deal with last year that they're dealing with this year? Yes, of course. But horrendous. People getting regular reps with 50 OPS pluses, the whole rotation putting up 6.5 ERAs, Gerrit Cole in the bullpen, and Aaron Judge for a third of the season, and that's really it. That's all that happened last year, and they won 82 games.
Yeah.
They won 82 games. So add Juan Soto, add some depth, add Stroman, add Verdugo, add Volpe's new swing, add however many games of Giancarlo Stanton you get, and let's talk about him now. And I do think that that's probably a better team than last year, and I don't think that people are projecting them to finish fourth or fifth. If you're bold, you can. It might happen. But I think, look at what the Rays have lost. Is anybody talking enthusiastically and optimistically about the Blue Jays right now? Am I missing that? Is everyone projecting that the Jays have a playoff?
That's not even shade. That's not, I haven't heard that. Not happening.
I haven't heard that.
Yeah. I haven't heard glowing reviews of really, you know, that's a team you would think would have a little bit, because, you know, sometimes media members like to get fancy. And they're like, oh, forget about the Rays and the Orioles. What about the Blue Jays? They've been sticking around for a little while. Like, that's a trendy pick. Haven't heard much. So I don't know what's going on. Like, it's weird that what was the exact comment from this guy? And who was it?
I actually didn't listen. I thought it was Ravitch. I assumed it was Ravitch.
Yeah.
But weird. The comment was, hold on a minute. Let me scroll my screen.
I had it up earlier, and
the quote is, a lot of people are picking the Yankees and Red Sox to finish at the bottom. I think a lot of people who are reading last year's standings are probably realizing that that is exactly what did. But I really have not noticed a lot of people picking the Yankees to do that.
Yeah, I haven't noticed that either. And just because it's a hard bet to make because you traded for Juan Soto, and even with the Cole injury, like, again, if the offense can just be top 10, that team probably wins 87 games.
Yeah,
it's not last place. And yeah, speaking of that offense, about Giancarlo Stanton, what do we think? Everyone, I'm getting nervous now because I feel like it's getting a little bit blown out of proportion.
Of course, I know. It is. Yeah,
it's just, this is what Stanton does. So it's like, it shouldn't be surprising to, like, he hits bombs. And he's incredibly streaky. So you look at his spring training stats. He's batting .314 with a 1.073 OPS. That's pretty cool, right?
Pretty cool.
Four home runs, 10 RBIs, except three of his 11 hits, three of his four home runs, and eight of his 10 RBIs came this week in that one game. He had three home runs and eight RBIs. What was it, the Pirates? They won 12-0.
And against Marco Gonzalez, the kind of soft-tossing lefty who Stanton has always hit. And if he can still do that and nothing else, then that's a marketable skill. We'll play against easy lefties. Maybe you'll hit 18 home runs. You'll run into, so that's great. Like, that's what it proves to me, that, like, hey, that thing he used to do, he can still do that. But it certainly doesn't prove that he can catch up to velocity over the course of a 162 game season, or battle a tough righty with a tough breaker that ends up in the other batter's box, or one three homer game in spring training does not prove anything about his durability.
No,
but the numbers that he needed to improve upon with his better body and more finely tuned body this year are upping that line drive percentage, lowering that K percentage as best you can, making smarter swing decisions. Swing decisions are up, whiffs are down, line drive percentage is more than doubled from 2023 to this tiny sample size. Ground ball percentage has been almost cut in half from 2023 to this tiny sample size. Spring training stats are nothing. Stanton having a three-homer spring training game after never having one in a regular season game is crazy. Nothing. But for me, it was a reminder that, hey, the skill, the absurd skill, the fact that this guy is a world-class, there are very few baseball players, athletes who can do what he does. We know that's not gone. He can still physically do that, but can he do it against upper echelon velocity? Can he do it against Brian Abreu and Ryan Presley? Not unless those guys hang one in the middle of the plate center cut and he can bang it. And let's see the swing decisions. Let's see if he can start laying off those breaking balls, those disgusting sliders off the plate outside. Because if so, different guy. But if not, we're going to see him taken advantage of in clutch situations, late in games, late and close by. Everybody's got nasty relievers with a dirt slider.
Yeah.
There isn't a good team that doesn't have those.
Yeah, I hate to poo-poo this because those homers were friggin' awesome. But
they were incredible. They were incredible.
It's just – it's so true. Like, I can't remember and you might be able to because you're more of you have more encyclopedic knowledge than I do. I can't remember an at bat where like Giancarlo Stanton grinded like constantly fouling pitches off and like forcing the pitcher into not that he's never done it before, but like an at bat that encompassed all of this, forcing the pitcher into a 3-2 count, getting behind in the count, battling back, pitcher rebounds in the count and Stanton, you know, forces them to make a bad pitch that he obliterates. I feel like those scenarios don't really exist. It's either Stanton absolutely belting one in the second pitch of the at bat or him going down on four pitches. And there's like just nothing in between. And I hate to even criticize that or say it, but like this, like even 2022 and 2021, he was a first half all-star in 2022. You look back on those game logs, he just had a couple of weeks at a time where he was just red hot for 7 to 10 games. And then he would go back to being bad. And then he would have these huge stretches, buoy his numbers. Yeah. And looking at the box score and the baseball reference page, you'd be like, wow, that's a really good year. And look, I'm not saying that going through those hot streaks is an easy thing, but the Yankees are so boom and bust that that kind of play usually hurts them because very rarely is there a balancing act with the slumping and with the hot streaks. It's always, oh, great, everybody's slumping, this sucks, or oh, great, everybody's hitting. So it goes back to the concern, like you were saying, late and close, high leverage towards the end of the season. Like, will the Yankees offense be hot come postseason? Will Giancarlo Stanton be hot come that part of the year when they're down the stretch? They need to win games. They need to distance themselves from the pack. They need to start the playoffs off on a really good note. And we just haven't seen that. And from Giancarlo Stanton, we haven't seen it since 2021. I know we had a great 2020 postseason, ended up not mattering. And then his performance in the AL wildcard game in 2021 was the best. But outside of that, he's either been not present for Yankees playoffs, playoff runs because of injury, or he's just been striking out and not been getting the timely hits.
Yeah. And 2019, I was so ready for that takeover.
Oh my God.
On the road in Houston in game one. And you're like, wow, effortless. Just dug that out. Here we go. And then
it's so exciting.
Comes down with an injury that nobody saw, doesn't play game two. And ironically, it was Cameron Maben who slotted in instead of him. And Maben was the one hyping him up today on Twitter last night saying, you know, I don't sleep on this guy. I don't want to hear you applauding him when you shit all over him. I get it. And I will never shit on Stanton. There's nobody who can do what he does except for Aaron Judge and Spencer Jones and Ellie De La Cruz. But yeah, I am going to need – it's not even a durability question at this point. We know the durability is not there. You take what you can get unless miracles happened overnight with this new body. But I need to see it against high velo. I need to see it against nasty righties and certainly not left-handed junk throwers like Marco Gonzalez. But it's still good to know it's in there. It's good to know he can go over the batter's eye. It's good to know he can wait on a pitch like he did and just – crank it off that score. You kind of had the feeling and the vibe that like this one might go. I think he might rip one here, and then that just went a long way.
That's when you know he's on, where it's like, oh man, you start rubbing your hands together, you're like, here we go, this is how you feel it. Then there's other times where he comes up and you're like, this is a three pitch strikeout and there is nothing I can do about it, might as well just turn the TV off.
It a little bit yesterday for sure, but again, March 20th against the Pittsburgh Pirates in a spring training game is not the look. Hope it translates. Hope you get at least some of that this year, because I don't know how much.
And we only need some of that. So that's the positive here. Like you said, if the attraction is Stanton still obliterating like mediocre left-handed pitchers, like there's gonna be plenty of games this year where he's gonna face mediocre left-handed pitchers. Like it's just the way it's gonna unfold. So if he can carry, you know, that weight and just not be again, you look at last year, it can't be that detrimental. It just can't be the worst thing of all time. Cause you look at the rest of the Yankees this spring, Juan Soto, great spring. I don't think we're going to debate about his performance come this season. Aaron Judge, I know he's been hurt, but we know what to expect from Judge. He is never impacted by time off. He comes back and he picks up like nothing ever changed. Gleyber Torres, really good spring. Also a good baseball player. We are confident in Gleyber Torres' talent. We are down on his awareness and ability to keep his head in the game. I think that's mostly been the gripe there. Anthony Rizzo looks like he's back. Like you said, spring training stats don't matter, but Anthony Rizzo could not see the ball.
Yeah.
So the fact that he can now see the ball and hit 400 in spring training, that's a great sign for us. Austin Wells looks like he's taking the next step, doesn't it? Looks like he's going to be able to seamlessly translate. I'm not betting on that happening from the jump, but the way that things are trending, the way that Yankees buy into and making sure their prospects are improving on a linear basis, Austin Wells is right there. Trent Grisham, power is there. So as long, you know, he's popping in and out of the lineup. You got the concern of DJ LeMahieu, though. Did you guys talk about that on Monday?
No, well, a little bit.
Let's talk about that for a second, because DJ LeMahieu, we thought everyone wants him to be the leadoff hitter. Do I think he's capable of it? Absolutely not. There is nothing DJ LeMahieu has done nothing of significance since 2020. And now people are like, oh, yeah, let's get DJ back in the leadoff spot. You know, the machine. It's like, I don't know if that's an option.
Yeah.
And I know him being injured is definitely not good, because I love his defense. I think him in the lineup is positive, just not maybe at the top. But now you have an injury, and now your lineup's theoretically getting worse, and don't know what's going to happen because Oswald Peraza isn't here either.
No. There's going to be a guy there. I'm excited to see who it'll be. That's the one roster spot. If you want to hear frustration, if it's Kevin Smith instead of Donovan Solano or Tony Kemp or
Kevin Smith made a horrific error the other day.
Everybody they have in that mix is bad. Like, yeah. Oswaldo is making the roster, and I'm not even sold on Oswaldo, but no. Kevin Smith, Josh Van Meter, Jose Rojas, who's a first baseman, and is, you know, not an option here. It's going to have, if it's not a trade for Urshela, which it probably will not be, or Josh Harrison or Tony Kemp, sign Solano, who's just hanging out there. Maybe that's where the Lorenzen money goes. They'd rather get the best possible bench option rather than Jeter Downs is still here. I mean, there's nobody I want to see on the opening day roster internally at the top levels of the minors. I'm going to need you to import somebody for me, because DJ LeMahieu, love him, hasn't been the same for several years. It's the troublesome foot that is hurt again. Him saying, I feel pretty good, honestly, except for the throbbing foot pain or whatever.
Well, more Yankees lying. More Yankees lying. Not very concerned. Oh, also, he's probably out until opening day.
Yeah, well,
that's almost 2 weeks.
He went for a bunch of X-rays, no fracture, and then during the game they were like, he's still sore, we'll see. And then after the game, Aaron Boone said, pretty significant bone bruise. We know it. We know what a bone bruise is. You don't need to lie to us about that. Derek Jeter had a bone bruise, and then his leg snapped on the field in the ALCS. It was really bad. Like bone bruise on a damaged foot that's already sapped his power, really bad. So I don't actually need the full explainer of it's actually a pretty significant bone bruise, but he'll play. I feel good for opening day except for the bone bruise. Yeah, no, I know. That's the only reason you won't be playing opening day. Like, we'll see. It's enough of that for me. But, like, I was being nice online, trying to be a nice guy online. But, like, I'm going to just be as blunt as possible while still being nice. I'm going to try for opening day, but I have this significant bone bruise. You're not going to make opening day with a significant bone bruise.
No.
Thank you for trying, but no.
Yeah. I mean, would that put Oswaldo at third? In theory, it would.
Yeah.
Look, I was down. He started 1-for-21 this spring. He is 9-for-his-last-22.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good news.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a complete turnaround. He struck out a bit less over that stretch. He's hit a homer. He's walked a bunch.
Yeah.
Switch hitter helps with the lineup again, but like, I don't know what the leadoff situation is going to be, but like at the same time, I don't know why I'm thinking about this now. Why don't you just do Verdugo, Judge, Soto?
I would.
Right.
I would.
Like, why is this harder? Is this as hard as they're making it?
No.
I feel like it's easy.
It is.
I don't know.
Verdugo's picking it up too. He's like, that power's not there yet, but Verdugo's picking it up. Like,
yeah, I mean, I'm not worried about him. Of course, he's gonna have he's not gonna have the greatest of springs. He's making a transition. There's eyes on him. There's the old shit talking from the Red Sox. So like, he's just gotta. Has he homered yet?
No.
No. Okay.
No, went 1-for-3 today, though. He's up to 265 with a 636 OPS. He's been there.
Yeah. Again, we just need somebody work. He works counts. He makes contact. I think that's the profile of a leadoff hitter. Welcome to baseball.
The ball. He serves the ball too to all fields. He was doing some fun serving of the ball the other day and today as well. Nice single in the left. I think Dennis Santana probably just made the team with his relief outing today. We will see you right back here next Monday to talk roster a little more closely. I'll put a roster projection up over the weekend. Duquesne just beat BYU. I had that.
They did. I had that.
Yep, I had that. So file that away in your bracket games. Bracket games? Yep, you're damn right. You can maybe do some betting if you feel confident with the promo code YanksGoYard at DraftKings. If you are a new user, now is the time. Wagner and North Carolina are tied at 13. Wagner is feeling themselves. I'm not feeling it. I'm going to be honest with you. But we shall see how that turns out. I'll be back here on Monday. Thomas will be back here on Monday, 2 o'clock Eastern time. Yes. Thursday I'll be off. Thomas, I don't know how are you going to navigate that? Probably.
We'll put it up to a vote to Roberto and Fernando. What do you guys think I should do?
Yeah. Let us know in the comments, leave us a 5-star review and drop a comment as to how Thursday's show should go. I'm Adam Weinrib. You can find me on Twitter at Adam Weinrib. Thomas Carinante, where can the people find you?
I am at Tommy's_takes. You could find us at the official Yanks Go Yard Twitter account at Yanks Go Yard FS. My cousin was not Otani's bookie, fellas. I'm sorry to disappoint you with that news. Or I guess the other guy's bookie, whatever the hell was going on there. Head on over to yanksgoyard.com. We got plenty of content there for you. Barreling ahead to the regular season. One week away. Thanks for sticking with us throughout this offseason. We'll be back here Monday, 2 p.m. Eastern, live. Please make it back. Let's have some fun. And until then, enjoy your weekend.
Enjoy your weekend. I know I won't if Wagner is going to be this scrappy, but we'll see. See everybody here on Monday.
Prime Day es el 16 y 17 de julio. Con las ofertas épicas exclusivas para miembros Prime, recibe el reconocimiento que tanto mereces.
¡Wow! Gracias. Ni siquiera preparé un discurso.
Quisiera agradecer a mi familia, que siempre necesita cosas. También a Sam, mi repartidor, por entregarme todas mis ofertas increíbles tan rápido. ¡Te adoro, Sam! ¡Mua!
Compra ofertas en electrónicos, hogar y más este Prime Day, del 16 al 17 de julio.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.